All right, well, there's no reason to pass out your outline unless you want. Does anybody want it now? You want to look at it with your phones? I'm going to read it to you. So unless you're dying to have one, I'll leave them right there and you can pick them up. So I can't remember the last time I did this in the dark. If I look at a verse and then I put it down, that light's not a distraction up here, right? Okay, all right. So, so 2 weeks ago, we started looking at the catechism question, and I'll read it. How is Christ our priest? Christ offered himself up once as a sacrifice for us to satisfy divine justice and to reconcile us to God, and he continually intercedes for us. Now, what the catechism, as we noted 2 weeks ago, what the shorter catechism doesn't highlight here, but the larger catechism does, and the confession is closely tied to Jesus' death on the cross, is his righteous life, and it's so critical. I'll just kind of remind you. Remember how Jesus said to John the Baptist, as John is hesitant to baptize Jesus, as Jesus is beginning his ministry and identifying himself with the sinners he'll save, and John the Baptist says, no, you should baptize me. And he was right. John's the sinner, not Jesus. But Jesus says, it's okay, John, let it be this way, to fulfill all righteousness. And when Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount discusses his ministry and begins to expound the law, he says, I didn't come to destroy the law. I came to fulfill the law. Now, yes, that ultimately, as we'll look at tonight, looks to the cross and his death. But first, it's his righteous life. As Paul says in Galatians 4, in the fullness of time, that is at just the right time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, that he might redeem us. So he did everything the law required, not for himself, but for us. Okay, so having highlighted that aspect that's not explicitly in the catechism, now where it says Christ offered himself up once as a sacrifice for us to satisfy divine justice. That's what, that's a fancy way of saying Jesus died to save us from our sins, right? Christ offered himself up. We may not typically use that language, but that's the language of Jesus. I'll just read you this portion of John 10, 11 and 18. You're very familiar with these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. And then, you know, Jesus goes on to say, I not only lay it down, I will raise it up. Jesus says, I participate in my own resurrection. As the triune God, not only is the Father and the Spirit involved in raising the Son, who is fully God, raises himself. But you notice, it's a voluntary offering that Jesus offers himself for us. And notice the language. No one takes it from me. Well, seems like the Jews and the Romans did. Well, they did. They did actively seek to arrest, torture, and execute him. But as Jesus said to Pilate, dude... he didn't say dude, but sometimes I say dude. Look, man, I could call a legion, which is thousands. I think it's like 5,000. I could call 5,000 angels, and they'd be here in a split second and wipe all you dudes out. They'd just wipe you out. And I like the way Thomas Watson says, why would Jesus need to do that? He could just do it himself. So, yes, they executed him, but it was because Jesus voluntarily endured that for us. So that's why the catechism emphasizes Christ offered himself up once as a sacrifice for us to satisfy divine justice. So now I want to read you. So I read you that Jesus talks about laying down his own life. Here's another time where Jesus speaks of the cross, the lingo, if you will, he uses in Matthew 20. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. So one of the points I'm going to try to make here in a few minutes is the nature of the, well, I'll just do it now. At the heart of Christ's death for us is it's a death for us. It's a sin. Jesus is our sin substitute. Again, you all are so accustomed to this. I'm sure as I rehearse these verses and say this, there may be a temptation. Why would he stress something we all know so well? But you must understand that there are gobs, big bunches of gobs of people that are not taught what I'm saying tonight. They're taught that Jesus is a great example. They're taught that Jesus is like Martin Luther King Jr. dying as a martyr on the cross. I'm not talking about politics here. I'm saying, you know the notion of a martyr, not in Christian church history, but more in natural parlance. You know, we talk about, oh, that person's a martyr. They worked hard for their cause. They died for their cause. That'll motivate us. Yeah, hogwash. That has nothing to do with Christianity. That might be a good pep talk for somebody going to serve in the army, and I don't play that down at any point. I don't mean that. But no, Christ's death was a sin, as a sin substitute. When Jesus says he's a ransom for many, that is, he's the payment. You see? That the fact that Christ, this is why, for instance, if you forced me to say the Apostles' Creed, just to say, well, Pastor, we've got to say the Apostles' Creed at least once a year, and I gave in, I would. But this, yeah, little things bother you, but I think this is a big one. The Apostles' Creed is a wonderful creed. It was one of the first creeds that really laid out the doctrine of the Trinity, contrary to some false teaching going on at the time. But why does the Apostles' Creed, it says this, and Christ died according to the Scriptures? No, he died for our sins. There's all the difference in the world. He died is a historical fact. He died for our sins is the gospel. That's the gospel. And so we use that once a month in here. So y'all are very familiar with that. I make no apologies that once a month we as a church use, I think, the great creed of the church in 1 Corinthians 15, where it says, Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. See, Christ, yes, he died, but... and it was a horrible death and it was a crucifixion. But that's not the gospel that Christ died. The gospel is that he died for our sins, to make payment for our sins. Do you see the simplicity of that? Now, we've got fancy words in the Bible, and I'll reference them in a minute to impress you in the dark. But we've got fancy words in the Bible that describe it, okay? Propitiation. How many of you can say that three times really fast? It's kind of hard, right? Now, propitiation is a wonderful theological word. It basically means Jesus turned away the wrath of God by absorbing it himself. Okay? And four times in the New Testament, Paul says it once, writer in Hebrews says it once, the Apostle John in 1 John says it twice. That Jesus is a propitiation. And there's nothing wrong with knowing that word, and there's nothing wrong with talking about liberals because they don't want to talk about the wrath of God because they don't believe in the wrath of God. Okay, that's all good and well and fine. But if you want to just keep it simple, he died for our sins. He paid for our sins. Did that involve turning away his wrath? You better believe it did. Because God is a just God. And his wrath is his just punishment for sin. So, I love our Bible creeds. Have you gotten that impression lately? Yeah. I think you have. So, I like our catechism. I like our other great creeds. But I think if you and I don't know anything else, and as we get older, it's hard to remember, right? But if you can't remember anything else, if you're trying to explain the gospel to somebody, if you're talking about the cross, you can say, Christ died for our sins. And then the other one that we use, Paul says in 1 Timothy 15, chapter 1, verse 15, Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners. Now, the cross isn't referenced there specifically. But then he says, and I'm the chief. You didn't know Paul was an Indian, did you? So, of course, what does he mean when he says he's the chief or the foremost? Yeah, that's what I would say. I'm the foremost. No, he's the worst. He's the worst of sinners, the Apostle Paul says. And you see, that preaches too, because if you quote that to an unbeliever, what are you saying? I'm a self-righteous person that looks down my nose at you. No, I say Christ came to save sinners, and I'm the worst. So you got that verse in your back pocket, and then you've got Christ died for sinners in your back pocket. You've got the gospel. All right. I know it's only a quarter till, but maybe I preach faster in the dark. Let me give you...
Chris?
Yes, sir.
I think I'm going to get some air.
Okay, we'll close in prayer. I was done, brother.
I don't want you to...
Y'all heard what I was about to say. I was done, and then I felt guilty. I was going to read another verse.
So that's why I...
Yeah, let's pray. Father, we covered the bases. Christ died for our sins. What a joy to know, for Jesus' sake. Amen.